Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So I got to tell you, as a progressive person, you know, I try my best to listen to people and their plight that they go through because of their skin color, their gender. But as a white man, it can be very difficult to empathize with those points because I haven't experienced that sort of, you know, racism or sexism or anything like that throughout my life, because I am the default choice, as we've determined in not just from America, but just for,
you know, the world,
human history, essentially. Right. Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is because it's been very educational for me watching these confirmation hearings for Ketanji Brown Jackson going through her confirmation process to be on the Supreme Court, because this is essentially, in my mind, what black women kind of deal with on the regular, mm-hmm. is having to be fucking talked down to by mediocre white guys constantly who are trying to explain to them how to do their job that don't have a basic understanding, and that she's actually, like, probably the smartest person in that room. Quite honestly, like, there's probably not.
I mean, she's quite literally more qualified to be on the Supreme Court than any of the current Supreme Court justices. Like, yes. She has more qualifications, including the guy she's retiring or like replacing. It's like someone put up a chart. I'm trying to find it, and I'll be able to find it in a second. But it's quite literally the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's like, oh, right. You guys don't actually, like, you don't actually give a shit about whether or not she's actually smart. You don't care if she's, like, clerked for the Supreme Court, which a lot of them had never done, right? Like, so she's mm-hmm. been in the Supreme Court environment and understands it, right? But it doesn't matter, right? Like, no. She has to, you know, black women are, and we don't have any black women on the episode, obviously, but black women are a double minority. Right. Not only are they black, but they're treated like shit in this country because they're black, and they're also treated like shit because they're women. Right. And it's one of those things where you're right. Boy, does these last few days, like, if you couldn't empathize or understand what that is like, mm-hmm. you're getting a top billing fucking TV, you know, TV primetime fucking showing of this shit. It's really gross. And we'll go through some of the things that are particularly gross and weird and just generally stupid. Cough, Ted Cruz. But it is something that people should pay attention to. And it is something non-black women should especially pay attention to. Because, like, when black women say, like, this is the type of shit we do, and people go, is it really that bad? Yeah. Now, this is a prime example. This woman isn't some random lady on the street. This woman is fucking super bright and is going to be on the Supreme Court, whether Republicans like it or not. And she's a brilliant legal mind, but that's not enough, right? I mean,
no.
Tucker Carlson started that bullshit, you know, last week with, well, we need to see what her LSAT scores are. Never asked Amy Coney Barrett what hers are. She didn't even go to an Ivy League school. I just found that out today. I was like, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And not that that's necessary, right? It shouldn't necessarily be a thing that is, like, a requirement to be at the Supreme Court, but, like, yeah, it's kind of curious. Like, should it go to, like, the top schools in the country? No. Okay. Like, whatever. So it's just interesting the difference of how she's being treated and how others are being treated.
Well, and it's also interesting to see people laud her for not taking the bait, for not, like, overreacting and that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, like, if you're on Twitter, like, black women are coming in like, yeah, she can't, like she's literally not allowed to, like, she can't go Brett Kavanaugh and start shouting and crying and screaming at these fucking people, even though she's in the right to. I would argue with some of the lines of questioning that she's having to experience, but she doesn't get to do that because
it's Barack Obama all over again.
Yeah.
It is a thing that white people will never understand. Why doesn't Barack Obama get up there? Cause he's not allowed to, dude. You think he's allowed to. But he's not.
And he gets it. That was the whole joke about the anger translator. That, like, that when he brought in, like, Keegan-Michael Key to, right, to do that shit at the Correspondence Center. Like, he gets that. And like you said, she gets the double whammy, because not only can she not get angry because she's black, but she's not allowed to get, you know, she's not allowed to get show frustration. Otherwise, she's hysterical. She's a hysterical woman. Or she, you know,
shrill, like that, or whatever fucking, right, bullshit they threw at Hillary for the same thing. And I'm like,
yeah.
Meanwhile, like, Brett Kavanaugh is losing his shit, screaming, yeah. "You're gonna all pay for this!" And the Hillary Clinton machine. I'm like, yo, what are you talking about?
It's like, yeah.
So it's wild. It is wild to see. But I gotta tell you, Brett, I feel, and not that I thought you, I don't think you're surprised by this. Only people, yeah, shocked by this really are white people. Black people are not shocked by this shit.
Trust me, from you know, going down Twitter, like, you can definitely tell the contrast in reactions.
Yeah.
From, you know, like you could just see it. You could, yeah, just see it.
Black people are like,
pretty, it's pretty apparent. So,
as Chris Rock would say, that train is always on time. Right? Like, dude, like, the racist train is always on time. We already know what's coming. Oh, really? A black woman's being nominated to the Supreme Court? Well, sit back and relax, guys, because here comes the bullshit, the parade of bullshit.
Remember when Lindsey Graham said, "It's, oh, like, we're not, I'm not going to let this be a circus," like the Kavanaugh hearing was.
Yeah,
like,
he's the fucking ringleader, dude. He's the ringleader. He's the ringmaster. Excuse me. Like, he, yeah, is. He's the fucking ringmaster of this shit. He, this, by the way, nobody loves a Supreme Court nomination more than Lindsey Graham. Like, this is his fuck. This is his thing. He loves it. I remember Sonia Sotomayor. He was like, "Yo, I like you. I do. I mean, I'm going to say some fucked up shit, but I like you. I'm going to vote for you, but I got to put you through the ringer because I got to be a piece of shit for my fan base." Like, I mean, that's basically what he said. Go back and watch the fucking video.
I mean, we knew we were in for it when he preempted everybody that by, like, "Oh, you can't call us racist. Like, we've heard that before. Like, you can't throw that term at us. Like, you've already done said it to the point where it doesn't mean anything. I'm so like, don't come calling us racist." I'm like, "Oh, you guys are about to say some racist shit."
Yeah, that's why. Let me just try to get out in front of this bullet before I get shot with it. That's all it is, dude. Like, but guess what? You guys are fucking mad racist. You are, yo. Like, let's get into some of the details, right?
Yeah.
Ted Cruz really showing his Canadian ass over the last couple of days during this nomination process. One of my favorite parts, because I've only been kind of catching it in, like, fits and starts, because I can't listen to stupid people talking. It irritates the shit out of me. That's why I'm not a Trump supporter. But Ted Cruz, I did see a clip of Ted Cruz basically going after Brown Jackson, because asking her, like, listen, have you seen this book they're showing the kids? Anti-Racist Baby, which is done, written by, I think it's Imani X. Kindi or something like that. I have that book, right? Incidentally. So when this book popped up, I was like, "Oh, this will be interesting. What is Ted Cruz going to say about this book that's not really in this book?" Because I've read the book. Yeah. Spoiler alert, not a big fan of the book. But not for the reasons that Ted Cruz is not a fan of a book he never read. I'm not a fan of the book.
I don't know. He sure have an intern go down to Kinko's and get, like, a fucking 4x4 poster board sign of several pages of
it. Right. Print it out. It's got anti-racist in it. That's bad. Okay. Weird. So the premise of the book is that nobody is born racist, but some people are, and it is not enough to not be racist. You have to be an anti-racist, right? So that the idea that you have to, the anti-racist baby, the baby is like the, sort of the point of view of the book. Like, it is important for parents to teach their children and for this anti-racist baby to learn how to be anti-racist, how to call out racism when they see it, how to speak up when they see those things, how they can choose to treat people equally no matter what their skin tone is, right? It is about being active in the fight against racism. That's what it's about. That's what an anti-racist baby is. It is not there's nothing in the book about like this white baby is racist, this black baby is racist, this Asian baby is racist. There's nothing in the book about that. It's about parents teaching their kids to be active members in fighting against racism. That's how I know he didn't read the book. He didn't read it, right? Like, he just didn't read it. Again, I have it upstairs. I'm not a fan of that book, not because of the messaging, because it's not really a kid's book. It's purported as a kid's book. It's not really for kids. It's for adults. Like, yeah. It is. It's kid drawings and stuff. I'm not a real fan of the art, but I've seen better. But
sounds pretty racist, Jay. Because any criticism of a book of this book has to be racist.
Right. Well, that's obviously true. It is an anti-racist book. So thereby, yeah, ergo. So, yeah, it's not about that. It's about pushing to be more active in fighting against racism. So if you're like against the messaging of the book, I think you might just be a racist. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. It's pretty harmless in teaching kids about how to respect other people. It doesn't say that kids of color are more or less susceptible to racism, or it doesn't purport any of that. It's all about, here is a array of people, mm-hmm. treat them all with respect and be a good person. That's it. Even the point of view isn't from a black child. There are multiple anti-racist babies in this anti-racist baby book.
But now you might be saying, what does this have to do with Ketanji Brown Jackson? And that's a great question.
Yeah.
The way that Ted Cruz masterfully tried to tie this somehow to her is because they have this book at the library of the Georgetown Day School, a school that Ketanji Brown Jackson either is or was a member of the board of.
She sits on the board, I believe.
She sits on the board now. Okay, so she's a current member of the board of this school. Wow. So somehow, because she sits on the board of this school, and this school has this book in the library, that must mean that Ketanji Brown Jackson personally is pushing critical race theory to young children at the Georgetown Day School.
I mean,
and will therefore spread critical race theory to all of the laws in America, because that's how being a Supreme Court justice works.
I mean, I'm glad you laid it out so simply, Brad. Good night, everybody. That's it. No sarcasm needed. Perfect.
Yeah. Meanwhile, that book also apparently found, according to one reporter, in the library of the private school where Ted Cruz's children attend as well.
Really? That's fucking hilarious. That's hilarious. Yes. It's a positive book. I don't think it's a very good kids book, but that's the dad in me. That's not the lib in me. I have no problem with the overall messaging. I just think it fucking sucks as a kids book. And incidentally, yeah. I've been on calls. I was on a call with that guy who wrote that, and like listening to him speak on like issues of race. I like the guy. Seems like pretty decent guy. Like, seems pretty smart. Has a lot of smart things to say. This guy sucks at writing a kids book. He's just not a good kids book. Like, it is what it is. Get help. So, but I just don't, like, it's such a weird stance to take that there's a book in this library and at a school, not that you even send your kids to, that you're on the board. Like, on what board of a school do they like, all right, here are the new 500 books we're putting in the library this year. Approve each one. Like,
that's how that works, Jay. That's exactly how it works at every private school in the country, is that the board literally approves every single book that makes its way to the library.
I guess that's why my wife is. I guess that's why my wife is working so hard at the school that she's also on the board of. Right, like. It's all night with these like approvals of these books. Like, I'm like, go to bed. She's like, but I have to read through Anti-Racist Baby 5 times before I can approve this book. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. Like, you know, you don't want a pro-racist baby. What the fuck? So I found that line of questioning just to be bizarre and stupid, but it also plays to the compatibility or plays to his fan base and their understanding and their gullibility of oh, it's got anti-racist in it. This is like Antifa, so it's got to be actually racist, or like whatever their twisted mind is, right?
Well,
like,
that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing that you have to understand from the Republican side, is that this isn't about her per se. No. Like, she just happens to be the person in the chair. This is about creating, you know, 30-second, 45-second clips that Sean Hannity can run at 9 o'clock.
Yep, that's it.
That night, essentially. Mm-hmm. And just so you can continue to bang home the CRT message. And the other message that they're really trying hard to tag on her.
They're working overtime on this one, boy.
Oh, well, because the other stuff just kind of like slid off, right? Because she's like, you know, like someone asked her about critical race theory besides Ted Cruz. And she was basically like, yeah, she's like, my understanding is that that's a legal principle that I've never, that I don't really know anything about, that doesn't have anything to do with my rulings that I've issued as a judge. Like, that's, it's a college thesis. And that was basically the end of that.
Yeah.
Like once she kind of laid that out there and actually defined what critical race theory was, that's what they did. Another great question asked by Marsha Blackburn, who I saw someone on Twitter say always looks like she slept in her car and brushed her hair with a cat.
That's pretty good, man.
That's a pretty good definition.
It's not inaccurate. It's really not inaccurate.
Asked her to, if she could ask Judge Jackson if she could define what a woman was. And, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson refused to answer. So somehow, like, that was like a big gotcha. Like, she can't define a woman. And then a report, and then on Fox later, one of the hosts asked Marsha Blackburn, what's your definition of a woman? And Marsha Blackburn's definition was, you know, like someone like me, and like, and that kind of, like, I'm a woman. Like, she couldn't even,
she couldn't answer it either.
She didn't even answer the question herself.
Marsha Blackburn fucking sucks.
She's pretty awful.
Good Lord. She is a classic conservative white woman. Like, she really is. Like, everything about her, like, you and I and Andy were joking in our, like, chat that, you know, sometime next week, you'll have the conservatives saying how they need to get rid of women's suffrage, and, you know, and you'll have conservative Republican women senators, like, backing the bill. Marsha Blackburn would be number one, dude. We need to make sure these women can't vote. You know that she means would, you, right? She's like, excellent. I'm an idiot.
She would co-sponsor it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, she's like, this is just a fucking genius bill. Like, who came up with this shit?
Holy like, God. I'm an idiot. Like, you don't want me voting for anybody. Look at me. I look like I brushed my hair with a cat. Like, yeah. Like, this is
I did. She's a
mom. But those were pretty trivial compared to what they've been really trying to tag on Judge Jackson during these hearings.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. Wow, this picture of Marsha Blackburn, wow, she really does look like she combed her hair with a cat. It's fucking hilarious.
Get a stylist. Like, it's not.
No,
like,
yo, she does. Like, no, yo, she does have one. She does have one. I'm gonna tell you right now, Brad. Give you a little inside dope. I guarantee she has a stylist. I guarantee that stylist is a gay man. And that stylist is like, every time you say some fucked up shit, I'm going to send your ass out there looking like 5 miles of bad road. It's like Trey Gowdy, dude. There's no way Trey Gowdy gets his hair cut by a straight man. He doesn't, dude. Like, every time you say some fucked up shit about gay people, that guy's like, no. I'm going to fucking make your ass look like an asshole. And then he sends his ass out there. No, yo, leave gay people alone. They gonna fuck your hair up. Don't do it. Now she got a stylist. That person hates her. I get it. So
either that, or it's like a Boris Johnson situation where she like makes herself look crazy on purpose.
I mean, it's working. It's working. Good God. They're trying to tie Justice Jackson. Future Justice Jackson, Supreme Court Justice Jackson, because that's definitely happening. They're trying to tie her down to being too lenient on child pornographers. This is a wild move, man.
Yeah.
So Andy found this quote from the National Review, you know, the known liberal rag, the National Review.
That was the point I was going to make. Like, if you have the National Review coming out here saying, like, this is repugnant, I feel like you've gone too far.
The National Review called it, quote, meritless to the point of demagoguery. Like, yo, what are you even talking about? Justice Jackson, her, like, when they questioned her numerous times, I mean, I think there's been three or four different people who have gone after this point. It's really fucking shitty. She basically was like, one, what are you even fucking talking about? two, like, I've talked to the people that I've sentenced who have been child pornographers and broke down to them, like, what you did, what it does to the victims, like, really making them understand how fucked up this is. And then she talks about, like, how those people, the child pornographers, had been abused and things like that. Like, she was giving a level of humanity to these people. It doesn't mean she doesn't put them in jail, but they are still human beings. And you, like, look, it is the weirdest fucking thing that I have to say, and I hate bringing this up. Reminds me of a joke, incidentally. But because people think, like, oh, the only reason you would talk about this is because you sympathize with them. No, they're human beings with a mental disorder, dude. We have to stop acting like fucking children and address the issue. Like, and her point is, like, yeah, these people are abused. They're fucked up. Doesn't mean you don't put them in jail. Doesn't mean you don't throw the fucking book at them. But you can still acknowledge that they are fucked up people, man, and why they're fucked up. And they're just, like, they're trying so desperately to tie this as, like, she's lenient on pedophiles or something like that. Like, she's not. Like, even her, like, if you go back and look at her judgments, they're not out of step with any fucking federal judge.
Well, and that's the thing, is that is so, the, like, Ted Cruz had, like, a pie chart that he brought with him to class today. And basically showed that,
what I brought.
Yeah, that she sentenced defendants in these cases to an average of 47% less than what prosecutors were asked for in sentencing. And here's the thing. The way that judges work is most crimes in this country, especially on the federal level, have, like, sentencing guidelines across, right, the, like, that are attached to them. Like here's the minimum, here's the maximum, here's what's, you know, recommended, that kind of thing. And then the judge, and then the prosecution can ask for whatever the fuck they want to. Like, it's, they can, right, they can ask for the moon if they want, but that doesn't
mean it's a child pornographer, dude. They're going to ask for the fucking moon. Yeah. Always.
And then it's the judge's responsibility. Sense. Like, their role in the system is to ultimately weigh the facts of the case and weigh, you know, the seriousness and the egregiousness of the crime, and to impose a sentence based around these guidelines, true, that are being set. Now, one of the other problems is that the judiciary and the legislature work in tandem in this area. Judges don't get to decide what the guidelines are. That's determined by laws, and laws are made by the legislature. And according to Dick Durbin, because he brought this up today during this session when Ted Cruz kept trying to badger her about this stuff, is that, or Lindsey Graham actually, is that they haven't touched these laws in about 15 or 16 years since the last update to the federal guidelines around you know, sentencing and child pornographers. I don't know if you guys realize the leaps and bounds that we've seen in technology, in the way that, you know, child pornography is able to be shared across, right, like the dark web, shit like that, over the past 15 to 16 years. And Judge Jackson's point was, like, we're working within the system. She's correct in saying that her sentencing recommendations are in line with, like, 70% of the federal justices, district court justices out there, including many, many, many Republican appointed justices, mind you, and many Republican justices. And that if they really want to change the punishment for these crimes,
then
they need to go back and fucking update the legislation and update the law around it, because judges follow the law. Like, that's literally what they do.
Right. It's a perfect answer, actually. And it's, so I'm of two minds of this, or not two minds of it. I splinter off on two points on this, which is, she's 100% correct. And they are doing this. They're going after this topic. It's not because of her. It's not because they even believe it. This is a QAnon thing. This is red meat for that group of fucking psychos who supports them. And they go, child pornography. It's fucking everywhere. Because that's what they believe, right? Everyone's a child pornographer and the devil, and they're all fucking kids and eating kids and all of that crazy shit. Well, they can't come out and say that, right? Because if Ted Cruz comes out and is like, oh, you know, the QAnon stuff is awesome, I love it, people would be like, oh, that guy's a fucking lunatic. We don't want that guy on the federal level. He needs to go, right? Everyone else will realize that, right? Everyone hates Ted Cruz anyway, but that will give them another reason to think that Ted Cruz shouldn't be anywhere near them. So they play at this because it can play on the fringe. They know that regular Republicans will be like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then, like, they'll do their, like, the few of them, they'll do their research, be like, all right, well, that's actually a shitty attack. Who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. I just don't want her because she's a Democrat, right? But the QAnon people will eat it up. They'll eat it up. They will run with Ketanji Brown Jackson being a pedophile or a pedophile, sympathetic person. They'll run with that for 20 years, right? That will fuel them every time they go to the ballot box and, oh, remember Joe Biden put a pedophile sympathizer on the court. That's why that's there, right? That's the one. That's part one of my two trains of thought on this. The other part is, they don't, like, them putting that shit out there, they also know that it could be enough to kind of spur, like, Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema to be like, I don't know, maybe.
She's too controversial. She's right. Too controversial.
Right. And they know that they got to try to pick at something. They got to try to pick at something. And here's the thing. Manchin's not an idiot. Sinema's not an idiot. They act like idiots, but they're not idiots. This isn't going to work. Like, but they got to pick at something because they don't really have anything. Mm-hmm. You shot your load on fucking CRT. That shit didn't work. Hey, do you believe in critical race theory? Why? Because I'm black? Oh, fuck. I don't know. Maybe. <Yeah. laughs> They don't have anything. So they jump to this. And it's like, all right, well, this will work for the QAnon people. Will it work for everybody else? No, not really. That's fucking stupid. And then they're like, ah, fuck. We're out of it. They don't have anything. She's incredibly smart. She's incredibly skilled. Half of these motherfuckers voted for her to have the spot she's got now as a circuit court judge. Like, you don't really have anything. You don't have anything.
I mean, and again, they've continued trying. Like, they've tried to hit her because she defended terrorists. Because she was a public defender, so like they fucking and you know, she spun it the right way. Like, like the American legal system is built on the fact that everyone deserves due process. Everyone deserves to have a defense. John Adams, former president, defended British soldiers after the Revolutionary War. FYI, for those that might not have known that. They also tried to, and this was funny because this got Republicans to say some wild shit, like Lindsey Graham's out here saying that, like, he doesn't think that anyone locked up in Guantanamo Bay deserves to have a defense. I'm like, so you don't believe in due process? Like, you were the fucking JAG Corps, my dude. Yeah, like, dude, like,
nah, yo, you don't, even you don't believe that, dude. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. Like, you sound wild. But, you know, these guys have no ability to just take, like, they can't just look at this person and go, yeah, all right.
Well, and remember a couple weeks ago, like, when it was clear that, like, it was headed this way, I remember I brought up the point, like, it would actually be a savvy and smart political move for Republicans to just not fight this at all, to just fucking let it sail through, no problem. It's still going to be a fucking 6-3 court. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not shaping the balance of the court in any way. You could get a massive PR win. You could take the high ground and be like, oh, look, Democrats, like, they attacked Kavanaugh. They attacked Amy Coney Barrett. We were nice to this black woman that
you know, we love black women.
Supreme Court. Yeah.
Like, we're awesome. It's her and Candace Owens. Those are the only two we know.
Like, yeah. And they could have easily played this in such a smooth way and really like tripped up Democrats if possible. But they can't because their base needs red meat. And also Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley were always going to go into business for themselves.
Oh, 100%. Well, hey, regardless of what the strategy was. 2024 is coming up, baby. I got moves to make.
regardless of what the strategy was, they were always going to go into business for themselves. So yeah, like that was never a doubt.
Yeah, it's wild to watch. You're absolutely right. They could have played it, but I would make the argument that there is another reason that they couldn't just let this one sail by without giving them that red meat. And that goes directly into our next story.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like our boy Clarence Thomas hates black women so much that he refuses to even live in a world where a black woman could be on the Supreme Court. He was like, I would rather die than to serve alongside a black woman on the Supreme Court. Which he seems to be really trying to do. Justice Clarence Thomas hospitalized after, quote, experiencing flu-like symptoms. What could it be, Brad? What could it be? Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was admitted to the Selby Memorial Hospital in Washington, D.C. on Friday. I wonder why he didn't go to Walter Reed. It's not COVID-related. The justice does not have COVID, a spokesperson for the Supreme Court said. It's COVID. Yes, it is. He has flu-like symptoms? From what? From what? What's he got? The flu? Like, he's going to die of the regular-ass flu? Nah, I don't buy it. He underwent tests, was diagnosed with an infection, and has been treated with intravenous antibiotics. Interesting. What's that cocktail look like, I wonder? Ivermectin and prayers and wishes. His symptoms are abating.
We can only be so lucky.
Oh, if it's only ivermectin. But like the horse kind, not the human kind. His symptoms are abating. He is resting comfortably, and he expects to be released from the hospital in a day or two. Now, that article was written on March 21st, Brad.
Yeah, it was Monday.
We got an update. Update says...
Do we have an update, Jay? Because I don't think we have an update.
I think we have an update without an update. March 23rd, 2 days later, High Court won't say whether Thomas remains hospitalized. If Clarence Thomas was feeling better, and if Clarence Thomas was out of the hospital, they would say he was out of the hospital. And they would say he's resting at home. Not fucking buying it. I think this guy is in a world of trouble.
Let's go full Lebanon. Let's go full conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat.
All right.
Clarence Thomas is already dead.
Yo, that's straight QAnon, right? Clarence Thomas is actually Clarence Thomas has been in Gitmo for a month.
and they are gonna hire Morgan Freeman
to play.
And they're going to perform a face-off like operation between Morgan Freeman and Clarence Thomas to have Morgan Freeman act as Clarence Thomas for as long as Morgan Freeman lives.
Wow.
So that they don't lose the Supreme Court seat.
That is an unfortunate setup for Morgan Freeman.
It really is.
I think there is a decent chance that Clarence Thomas is in a world of trouble. I think he is.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
Sure. Look, Mike and I just on Black on Black Cinema. Micah says that he just does not, you know, he doesn't like to wish people pain. He doesn't want this guy to die. And I said, I just don't care. I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care. The heaven is not missing an angel.
Also, I don't wish death on anybody, but at the same time. That's another seat, man. Like, we could really use that pickup. I got to tell you. I will treat it with the same level of respect and dignity that Republicans did with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. How about that?
That's fair.
How about that? Where Mitch McConnell literally could not wait 24 hours to mention that we were going to have that seat filled before the election. Literally could not wait a day to he was so fucking excited.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, we're going to get a new fucking Republican Supreme Court justice up in there.
I mean, hey, look, Mitch McConnell is a piece of shit, but like, I get it. I get it from his perspective. Like, he was just like, fucking hell yeah, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
And so to that, I say, let's go, boys. Like, Nah, don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Look, he's not a Supreme Court justice where it's like, oh, it'd be cool to have that seat. Like, I don't want that guy to die. But like, I don't really.
He doesn't have to die. What if his health was debilitated to the point where he was still alive but could not do his duties as a Supreme Court justice anymore? I'd be totally fine with that.
Look, you get no a crab problem. Rave either way, bro. Like, you get a crab rave either way. You have to resign or retire because of your health. And look, I absolutely prefer that. I truly would. That's not even me being sarcastic. I would absolutely prefer him to just retire, take care of himself, live the rest of his life with him and his garbage fucking wife. If either one of them had to die of COVID, I'd rather it be her. She is quite literally a racist piece of shit. Just because you fuck a black dick doesn't make you a fucking anti-racist. Those babies are anti-racist. Clarence Thomas's wife is a pro-racist. No, she's a garbage person. If any of them are going to die of a debilitating disease, I'd much rather it be her. But if it causes him to retire, it's fine. It's fine. There's no skin off my back, man. I don't give a shit. Just get off the court. Look, I hope you feel great, and then you just retire anyway. Just get off the court, you fucking garbage person.
I mean, he would be the same as Ginsburg. Like if he can crawl to the court every day, he would do it just so that they don't lose a fucking seat.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised he didn't resign the second Trump lost. I'm shocked by that because I thought for sure he was just going to be like fucking deuces, man.
I mean, it would have been smart, especially considering like all the shit your fucking wife was into. Like they're talking about, like, people are rumblings now about like possibly impeaching him at this point.
I mean, I've heard the conspiracy theory that like that's actually what this is. Fake an illness. Ah, my belly hurts. I'm going to retire. And then just like they fucking just bounce and then they get the fuck out of there. I've heard that conspiracy theory. I don't hate it. I don't hate it because it still gets Clarence Thomas off that fucking bench.
like the end result, like, as long as we get to the end result here, like there's many paths we can take. Many paths. Some are better than others.
Right. Dear God, it's up to you, really. Hello, God. It's me, Martha, or Margaret. I don't care. I think he's a real bad dude. Like, I think legitimately is quite a bad dude. But I do love the idea that you are seeing the Republican Party fighting a little bit harder because they're terrified, man. 5-4 court, it's getting close, man. It's getting close because they got a lot of guys edging to the older side, right? Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett are fairly young.
A 5-4 court with a John Roberts who is just trying desperately to fucking have any sense of legitimacy with the Supreme Court that he oversees. Like, he's trying so hard to just fucking hang on for dear life.
Like, Sam Alito is, or excuse me, John Roberts is 67. Sam Alito is 71. So, like, they're not young guys, right? Like, Clarence Thomas is 70 what? 73. Okay. Like, and Breyer was 400. So, you know, like, like it's, and on the Democratic side, they've got what? Elaine Keegan. Who else?
Sotomayor.
Sotomayor. They're both like late 50s, early 60s, right?
Yeah. I would imagine they're in that range.
Yeah. So, like, they're not going anywhere.
Brown Jackson's 51, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Oh, Sonia Sotomayor. Damn, she looks great. She's 67. And I think Elaine Keegan's probably early 60s. I don't know. What's her age? She's 61, right? So they've got plenty of time. But yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think Sam Alito is going to quite literally be there fucking forever. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'd give Alito 10 years max. I think 10 years. But you know, 10 years, you do a lot of damage in 10 years, right? That's, that's, you know, a full presidency, you know, plus a midterm. So, but it's interesting that they could lose it and get down to a 5-4 court. And by the way, like we had talked about offline, if I'm Joe Biden, man, I got me a black man waiting in the wings to get nominated. And he's like 40 years old, 42 from Baltimore, who doesn't really have any like judicial experience whatsoever. I just did jury duty. I think I'm ready, Brett. Put me in, coach.
I could, like I said, I could be your like advisor.
I've seen
on the show before every episode of Law and Order, which makes right. me about as eligible to judge Supreme Court stuff as Tom Tillis, who said that he wasn't a lawyer today, but he's seen a lot of episodes of Law and Order.
Yeah, I watched Law and Order from time to time. He says from time to time. But, he's not even a regular viewer. From time to time, he catches it.
Well, I'm a super fan. Like, I'm watching that shit all the time.
Right.
Yeah, so Brad, clearly, I know more about the judicial goings ons than Tom Tillis does.
Right, like you're all a part of the law part. Like that's
right.
That's it, or the order part. Excuse me. But and that's just like, dude said it out loud. Like he said it out loud.
It's a wild thing to say.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I have questions. Like, all right, dude. So
Cory Booker brought it back today, tonight, though. I don't know if you got a chance to see that yet, but basically
I saw people talking about it. I did not have a chance to actually see
it. Yeah, he went on a very Cory Booker-esque rant about like the Republicans, you're being ridiculous. And then,
good for him.
You know, to Brown Jackson, he was basically like, don't let them fucking ruin this shit for you. Like acknowledge the fact that like this is historic. Like, and this is like, you earned this, like you deserve this. Like just because they're acting fools doesn't mean that you're any less deserving of this, you know, this historic moment of being the first black woman that's going to be on the Supreme Court. I actually moved her to tears. Cory Booker did.
Look, man, Cory Booker is a nerd. Okay. Cory Booker is a, Cory Booker is a nerd. Cory Booker is a herb. Okay. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure Tiara would be calling him a herb right now.
So. Right. He is. As we often refer to Cory Booker is a herb ass nigga. Like, and I love Cory Booker. Like, I do, man. Because Cory Booker is a genuine dude. He's a dork, but he's a genuine dude. And you're going to get that response from him. You're going to get that, like, this is historic and all this other stuff. You're going to get that from him for one major reason. Cory Booker's got a black mom, you know? Like, he does. He's got black family members. Like, he's got black women in his family. And you can't help but get proud of seeing somebody who looks like you accomplish something that's never been done before. Again, white people don't really know what that's like. Like, let's say it would be like, if a white person won the slam dunk contest, like in the NBA, like it would be amazing, right? Once in a generation, right? Like imagine how white people would feel. They would be ballistic, right? Like they would go crazy. And understandably, right? Because it's never gonna fucking happen, right? Ever. Let's just let that dream go. Larry Bird is over.
Larry Bird wasn't a dunker.
No, no shit. No shit, Brad. No shit. No shit.
Larry Bird did not play in the paint. Come on.
No. Only on the outside, my man. Like, oh, man. Give the ball to Kevin McHale. But it's just, it isn't, it's important. And I'm glad that he did say that. Like, it's important. But look, to see a black woman ascend to this position, I love it, man. I love it. I can't, you know, a lot of what we've heard over the last couple of weeks is a bunch of white men getting on my goddamn nerves with, why does it have to matter about race and all this other shit? It only doesn't matter to you because it's always white guys up until recently. Mm-hmm. Up until recently, right? Think about it. In our lifetime was the first time a woman was elected to the Supreme Court in the 80s.
Yes.
What the fuck? Dude,
here's a fun fact, by the way. I just learned this today.
Oh, is this the Lawrence O'Donnell?
Yeah, this is the Lawrence O'Donnell.
I was going to bring it up. This is phenomenal information. Go ahead.
So, like, people are like, you know, I think Michael Beschloss went on Twitter and was like, you know, like, I've never seen like a confirmation hearing like be just a stage for senators just to fucking try to mug for the camera constantly and like just try to get their own agenda out there instead of actually asking questions of the nominee. And Lawrence O'Donnell came back. He's like, you know, for the first 127 years or however long it was, like they didn't even do confirmation hearings. Like they just fucking voted on it. While white Christians were, you know, being put up for Supreme Court, you know, seats, all of a sudden, they nominate a Jewish guy and they're like, pump the brakes here a little bit. We need to have a hearing to make sure that this guy is legit before we can just let him on the court.
Is that Brandeis? Is my guess.
I didn't catch who it was, but
my guess is it was Brandeis. Pretty famous guy. And I only know that because my buddy, who is also Jewish, went to Brandeis University. Incidentally, Anita Hill teaches there, which is just kind of funny, or at least did. But it's curious, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example of the bullshit.
Yeah.
That minorities deal with in this country. For 127 years, they were just like, let's vote on it. Who gives a fuck? Of course you put whoever you put up is qualified. A Jew? Get out of here. New procedure. I sent that story. I sent that tweet to my Jewish buddy. He was like, wow, I didn't even know that. That's pretty fun. It's like,
But it just goes to show you that, you know, like when white people say they don't get why we have to make everything about, you know, someone's skin color, or their gender, or their religion, because
you
if you're not white, male, and Christian, which is all the defaults, then you get scrutinized. Period. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So. It's wild. Again, the first woman was in our lifetime. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, dude.
And there wasn't another one for like 20 years after Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah,
give or take.
So again, like it's curious and like, look at Sandra Day O'Connor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Respected, you know, straight shooter, respected on all sides as it were. Nominated by Ronald Reagan. Look at the difference. Ronald Reagan puts up Sandra Day O'Connor. People aren't like, fuck that bitch. They're not. They're like, oh, she's like mad qualified. Like, all right. And that's Ronald Reagan. He was a piece of shit.
Right? I mean, to be fair, that was pre, like Sandra Day O'Connor was pre Bork, right? And Bork is when things started.
Yeah, it went kind of fucking left, right? Yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like, where we were versus where we are is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So, yeah. But I think you're seeing the Republican Party fight a little bit harder because I think they are legitimately concerned about Thomas. If it becomes a 5-4 court, ooh, buddy, shit is going to get serious. By the way, if Clarence Thomas dies or has to retire, QAnon will say that this is 100% planned by Democrats. I remember when Republicans said that Democrats killed Scalia. Not that cheeseburger is a poor diet and no exercise could have possibly been the reason he died. No, it was Democrats that killed that picture of health, Antonin Scalia. All right.
Oh, that's why McConnell didn't want to fill the seat before the election to punish Democrats for their murder of Scalia.
Just putting a pillow over the head of Antonin Scalia. And by pillow, I mean a plate of pasta primavera. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Get the fuck out of here. They killed him. I'm like, dude, no. Barilla killed him. Like, not get the fuck off. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. They killed him.
Oh my God.
The gall. I just wrote this story as let's just have a fist fight. Like, let's just, come on, dude. Let's just have a fist fight.
Like I said, I saw, so, man, speaking of things that are wild to say in front of a camera.
Yeah, like, hold on. I want to make sure
Well, so to set you up for this, the preface here is that during the hearing, John Cornyn complained to Judge Jackson why he did this. I have no fucking clue, as if Judge Jackson has anything to do with this shit. Complained about the fact, I think, in making a point about not wanting to see judicial activism. He complained about the fact that he thought the Obergefell case, which legalized gay marriage in the United States, was wrongly decided, and that that the courts should not have waded in on an issue that's best left to the states, as Republicans love to fucking say.
Right. So they tee that one up. So he tees that one up. He's like, gay marriage, not cool, right? But then it's like, well, let's dig a little deeper into our own bigotry, because of course he also, Mike Braun, or Von Braun, if you want to sort of add that for no reason, says that maybe Loving versus Virginia was a bad ruling by the Supreme Court. You know, the law that or the Supreme Court case that legalized interracial marriage in the United States on a federal level. Maybe that should have also get kicked back to the states, because that's also judicial activism. Well. And so here we are now thinking about kicking interracial marriage back to the states. As a person who is in an interracial marriage, I would like to fight this guy. like, straight up, like, let's just put on boxing gloves or not and just have a fist fight instead of talking about this, because that would be easier for me, I think. I can't express to you how annoying I find the Republican Party over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. This, to me... And we'll talk about why they're doing this. It's a very, from their perspective, it's a very logical reason, but it's still gross. This to me is one of those things where you go, why the fuck does anybody support the Republican Party? Like, truly, why do you support it? Right? Like, you know, I think it's a really weird thing that, like, people associate, like, people who are like, tough, military, or like I'm into weightlifting. So, like, I watch a lot of like weightlifting people or whatever. I follow them on Instagram and stuff like that. And like a lot of them are weirdly conservative, right? Mm-hmm. They'll have like a Trump shirt on and I'm like, all right, unfollow. But I'm like, could you just not say it? As long as I don't know in my heart of hearts, yeah. I can just keep following you and listen to your advice. But a lot of them tend to be conservative, right? I don't know why Republicanism is somehow seen as equal to toughness. Like, because to me, like, protecting people is tough. Like, that's what strength is. Like, not just kicking people while they're down.
No. Well, protecting people with guns is tough, Jay. Protecting people with money and equality is for pussies. That's fair. That's the mindset there.
That's fair. I forgot. Yeah. My bad. My bad. But, like... So I find it weird, because I would love to ask people, like, it's like, cool. Do you think that interracial marriage should just be like possibly banned in states? Like, I don't think those people would believe that. They'd be like, yo, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy.
Half of them would probably not realize that it wasn't, that it was illegal
at some point
as recently as like the mid 60s.
Right, dude. Like, Loving versus Virginia was not fucking 400 years ago. Like, incidentally, my in-laws who, were also an interracial couple, got married the year it passed. The year it passed. Like, they were like, cool, it's legal now? Boom, the year after it passed. Right? Like, that's it. And they got married in a state, it definitely wasn't legal then. Like, it was legal in some states, right? Because basically the idea was like, they went to, I want to say Maryland, to get married. Like, they were in Virginia. And they went to Maryland or New York or something like that and got married because it was legal there. And then they went back to Virginia and they were like, nah, yo, that shit don't count here. And then it got pushed up to the federal, you know, to the federal level eventually. And then they won, obviously, because that was a stupid case and it should have never been a thing. But the reason that they're going after Loving versus Virginia, or this fucking buffoon, is the first one to throw the trial balloon up, spoiler alert, a lot of them agree with that, right? For the reason I'm going to say, is because, like Brad said, if you're trying to get rid of gay marriage, if you're trying to get rid of that ruling, you have to kill this ruling too and kick it all back to the states so that you can seem like it's just about marriage rulings on marriage, which is definitely their plan. That's definitely their plan, 100%. Hey, guys, you think that the Supreme Court matters, by the way? Think maybe you should vote?
I just love all the conservatives that were like, no. It's like abortion's the only thing they're going to go after just because they've been, you know, we've been fighting against that for decades now. Like, they're not going to go over any other, you know, rights that have been granted to people. I'm like, no, that's not how this works. You give someone a taste, they tend to come back for more, typically. If they think they can, you know, if they see that they have this apparatus in this, you know, conservative Supreme Court to knock down these decisions that they disagree with, they're going to attack as many of the decisions as possible. So if they do knock down Roe, and if the Supreme Court overturns it, you are absolutely going to see some dumb redneck state ban gay marriage just to get a case in the system in order to get it to shoot it up to Washington.
Essentially. Yep. And,
like,
and
that is going to absolutely happen.
Right. And you're going to see Mississippi or someplace like that try to go after Loveyn versus Virginia.
Yep.
You actually might see that first, to be honest. You might see it first.
Yeah.
Here's my argument against it. I mean, for obvious reasons, besides like, hey, this is bigoted and ridiculous and like, who's for this?
Well, I'm curious to hear your argument, because my arguments could be something that I've talked about on the show a million times before, but go ahead with what you got, so.
I think the federal government should be like, okay. Or the Supreme Court should be like, all right, cool. All marriages are banned. How about that?
Hey.
How about that? And they're replaced. And I've said this. This is the number one. This is the number one way to everybody gets a civil union.
Yeah.
Republicans have a huge issue with the word marriage because it's in the Bible or some other book. I don't know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, whatever they read. Who gives a fuck? It's all nonsense. There's lions.
I think based on Ted Cruz's reading habits throughout history, that might be a little above his reading level.
That's true. He can't even read anti-racist, baby. He's like, Narnia is a real book. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think it should be kicked. I think all marriage should be kicked. Gone. Gone. It is not a federal issue. It is not even a state issue. It's not a government issue at all.
Marriage is technically a religious issue.
That's right. And I think what you do is you get rid of all of it, and every marriage, in quotes, that is in existence right now, they're all civil unions. They have the exact same rights. Nothing changes. Same divorce laws. You just call it something else. You don't call it divorce. The ending of the civil union, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same as far as like property division and ownership and all of those things and insurance. All of that stuff just changes language. It doesn't change any like deals about like what it is. You want to have a formal marriage as a Christian? Get a fucking marriage as a Christian. You want to do it as a Satanist or a fucking Muslim or a Scientologist, whatever you want to do. You call it whatever you want to call it. You call it whatever you want. No religion can tell another religion not to call it a marriage. You call it whatever the fuck you want. Then you're good. If your religion says, I already see that you've done, you're a civil union and that's compatible with our religion, then fine, so be it. Who cares? Then the federal government is out of the business of marriage, and all they are doing is setting up contracts between two individuals. And those contracts can only be set up between adults.
Jay's gone full libertarian.
I'm serious. Maybe those 13-year-olds are right.
This is the Rand Paul show.
Yeah. Please don't attack me. I'm just trying to do lawn care. But they're just contracts. They're contracts, and they're the exact same. Because that's all a marriage is. It's a contract. That's all it is. If you sleep with somebody else in that contract, they can break the contract. Whatever. They can get rid of the contract. Set it up as a contract. Then you take religion out of it. You want to get married in your church, or as Mr. Burns would say, your synagogue. Like, that's fine. Right? I love that episode. You want to do that? then have a marriage. That's fine. If you are a person who is not religious and you want to have a civil union, it's also fine. But they're equal. Nothing changes. That's the way you fucking fight back on it. Cool. Because if I'm on the federal, if I'm a Supreme Court justice, I'm like, just get rid of all of it. Fine. You deal with it. Fuck it. You deal with it.
Your idea is better than mine. Mine just goes back to the argument that I've made on this show.
Forced gay marriage, Brad. It's a really weird
thing. Yeah, that's the one. If you're going to leave like important fucking social issues like this to and make it different from state to state, what's the point of even having a fucking country? Like, what's the point of having federal laws if you're going to fucking do that? Like there's thing you can say that America stands for these things. And if you believe that Americans should have the choice to be married to whoever they want to, then that should be the law, a federal law, period. And if you want to be a part of America, then you abide by this law.
Right.
And if you don't want to be part of America, then fucking kick rocks. Get out of here.
I'm equally as okay with that. But I love the idea of just being like, oh, yeah, no, you know what? We are going to kick it back to the states. Marriages don't exist anymore. Done.
That would be cool.
If I had a 7-2 lib court, that's what I would do. I'd be like, listen, write that legislation. Bring it up here. We'll fucking put the fucking Supreme Court stamp right on that shit. Boom. Marriages don't exist. Fuck out of here. Signed, Justice Jackson. Me. Like, done, dude. Done. Done. Eat a dick. I think if your holdup is that marriage is a religious institution and it's not fair to us that other people can have joy, then cool. None of you get it. Fuck off and go do the shit at your own church or whatever and be happy. It don't affect you. Two people getting married, like two Christians having a civil union. Like, here's the thing that's so fucking stupid, right? About marriage laws and how marriage works in this country. This is what's so fucking dumb. People make such a big religious argument. Conservatives make such a big religious argument. We got to do it because, you know, that's what our religion says. That's cool. Since when does your religion say that the federal government has to approve it? It doesn't. But you cannot get married in this country legally without the government coming in and signing a document. Your state has to sign off on it. All that pomp and circumstances of wearing a dress and a tuxedo and having the big party and all that stuff, all of that shit comes after you sign the marriage certificate. You're already married. So yeah, what's the fuck?
Several days after, in fact.
Right.
Usually.
Right. My wife and I got that marriage certificate done like 4 or 5 days before we got married. We were already married. That's just pomp and circumstances. So, okay, if that is the case, then just change the document. Just change the document, dude. Just change the document. You want to have a marriage certificate? Everybody, the government spends whatever amount of money helping the states mail out a bunch of new civil union documents to all of the married people. You want to rip it up? That's on you. Who gives a fuck?
Just hit Control A on the Book of Federal Laws. Control F, replace marriage with civil union. Save. Done.
Done. Save. Print. Like, this is it. That's it. Get rid of marriages. Like, just get rid of marriages on any level, state or federal. All you have to do is you have to go and you have to have, in order to have a contract between those two people for a civil union, you have to be of age, and it needs to be the same age in every state. It needs to be the same age.
No, Jay, we got to leave that to the states because if 14-year-olds want to get married.
Gross.
They absolutely should be able to for some reason.
What if my 15-year-old daughter wants to marry somebody? Then wait, you creep. Wait. Just wait. You can have your civil union when you're 18. It should be across the board. Should be 18. Boom, 18. Frankly, probably should be 30. Honestly, should be fucking 30. People getting married way too young. But yeah, nah, man, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. I think it's the best move. I'd love to hear Republicans' thoughts on that. I'd wonder what they'd say. Oh, that's not fair. Because they would literally be
circuit them.
They would be literally arguing for the federal government to be involved. for the federal government to be involved, which is weird to me.
I mean, Jay, the consistency in their arguments has never been a hallmark of the conservative.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, come on.
It's clear as mud. But, like, I would just love to hear, like, if you think that the government shouldn't be involved in marriage because they're ruining it or whatever, cool, then just get rid of all of it. Just everybody have a civil union. Well, why do I have to have a civil union? You can have a marriage. This is just the formal contract. What's the difference? You live in a house with the person. You call them your wife, right? You don't have to call them your civil union knight. Like, you can call them your wife or your husband.
Your civil companion.
My civil companion, right? Like, yeah. This is your partner, whatever. I don't get it. Fuck those people, man. And fuck Braun for even saying the shit out loud. Fuck that guy.
I mean, the bad news for him is that if he decides to run for re-election, I have a feeling he's going to be seeing that video clip approximately 5 times an hour on TV for many, many weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because, it's not. Wasn't smart.
I mean, do we even need interracial marriages? And they just cut back to his opponent, a black man, and his white wife and their beautiful biracial kids going, yeah, I think so, dude. Think so. Vote for me. Bye. They just fade to black. Like, yeah. If I ran against him, that's what I would do. That's what I do. I just have my family there and I'd be like, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Like, this is ridiculous, and what you're advocating is ridiculous. It's 2022, dude. It's not 1492. What the fuck are you talking about? Or 1960, if we're being honest. I titled this one, They Truly Fear the President of Earth. I got to tell you, man. I think Stacey Abrams could be president one day. Like, I really feel like I feel it in my bones, Brad. I feel it in my bones.
Here's my question.
I think she could.
If you're the Brian Kemp campaign, do you try to force Star Trek Discovery to give him a cameo as an in kind because that's
an in kind contribution? Yeah.
Or equal time under the equal time doctrine, like both candidates have equal time on the streaming service.
Yes, I like. Brian Kemp can be head of the Romulans. That fucking duplicitous asshole.
There you go. They should do that. They'd be like, we'll let you do it, but you have to be like the Klingon president.
He's like, I'll allow it. He's like, I've never watched Star Trek. It's not fair. She's on TV. That's because people like her, dude. Although conservatives were not pleased that she was on there. I loved
your reaction to that, though, is because they're like, I can't believe that Star Trek's gone woke. I'm like, I can't believe you've never watched Star Trek.
Like, right, like the hell? What? No, it's about a utopian Earth society that took to the stars to make an even bigger tent of, like, beings. They were like, let's go help everybody. What? What are you talking about, dude? Why don't we help people with time travel and intergalactic travel? That'll be awesome. Like, let's all help everybody. And then they ran into like two races who were like, fuck you guys. And then like, much like a Fast and the Furious movie, like they all eventually become friends anyway. In the next one, like in the original, they fucking hated the Klingons. The Klingons were the number one villains. And then in Next Generation, you got Worf. Like, yeah, dude. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right. Like, yeah, like that's, yeah. So don't make fun of Fast and Furious. Star Trek is Fast and Furious. Get out of here. Like, the same thing. So this is a curious thing that's happening in Georgia with Stacey Abrams. So obviously she's running for governor again. This time, hopefully she will not be cheated out of the governorship. And if she is, she should 100% run for president next time, in my opinion. Like, cool. Fuck Georgia. Just keep it moving. Cause, girl, you're gonna win. Like, you should have won the last time. You got fucking screwed, and they're trying to screw you again. Cause they're terrified of you. Stacey Abrams filed a lawsuit seeking to immediately begin fundraising for her campaign for governor under a state law that prevents her gubernatorial leadership committee from doing so. So, basically, the idea here is that a new kind of fundraising committee was created by Georgia lawmakers last year, which her opponent, Brian Kemp, has already been able to make use of. It's called the Leadership Committee. It allows certain people and groups to accept unlimited contributions, giving the direct candidate committees, on the other hand, giving to direct candidate committees, on the other hand, only gives you a max of $7,600 for the primary and general election, and $4,500 for runoff. So basically, this new bullshit law that they came up with in Georgia says, take the cap off. You get to do whatever you want if you do it through this, which is shady as fuck anyway. But Kemp is already using it, and why should she not use it and handicap herself? That's fucking stupid. What she should do is use it, hopefully get enough power in the legislature for the Democrats, and then kill that shit, because that shouldn't exist at all.
So her argument is that the filing deadline has passed to file to run in the Democratic primary, which is on May 24th.
Wait, now hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Yes,
because let me point this out in the law. Under the law, the committee can be formed by the governor and lieutenant governor, right? So that's why Kemp is able to use it right now. Opposing major party nominees. So she is the opposing party. She would be considered the nominee. Now go ahead. Yes. Back to your point.
So they're not letting her use it, though, because their argument is since the primary hasn't happened yet, she's not technically the Democratic nominee for governor. Her argument is, since no one's running against me, I am the nominee because I don't have an opponent. So by I'm the de facto nominee.
Right. Because you're not in your competition. And you're also not allowed to write anybody in, right?
Correct.
So she doesn't, she quite literally has no one else to run against.
Yes.
The field completely cleared for her. They were like, oh, Stacey Abrams is running? You got it. You got it.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to beat her.
And
they're still denying it. And basically she's been told that she needs to go talk to, a commission lawyer told Stacey Abrams' legal team, first needs to seek legal advice from Georgia's Attorney General Chris Carr and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger as to whether state law considers Abrams the nominee. The head of the Democratic Party in Georgia has said that she is the nominee because, again, she is the de facto nominee because there's no one else running.
Well, and she's smart enough to know, like, if she has to go to Raffensperger, like, they're going to slow walk this until the primary when they can't deny her, essentially. Like, they're basically going to just try to hold her up until the primary actually takes place, and then they can't stop her from dipping into this, so.
But it's just to give Kemp
a two-month head start. That's all.
That's all it is.
So.
It's pretty shitty. Like, it's a pretty shitty move. But also, like, this is a pretty shitty law in a lot of ways too. Like it feels like cheating because it is. Like,
yeah.
Like you can literally,
it is a legal dark money fund essentially.
Right. Because it also says in the article, like you're allowed, like this committee one can receive unlimited money, can also coordinate with the campaign. Like these are quite literally things that you're not allowed to do with like super PACs and shit like that. You're not allowed to coordinate with campaigns. Like they have a cutout. Like you can do that with these committees. It is solely there to cheat. Like that's all it is. So I would hope that she would use this and then gain enough power in the legislature and kill this, because this is nonsense. This is utter nonsense. But Republicans set up shit like this, and then when Democrats use it, they're like, I thought you cared about election integrity and stuff like that. Yeah, but I'm not going to shoot myself in the foot, giving you the upper hand on some bullshit moral high ground. That's dumb. Yeah. It makes no sense. So hopefully she's she wins this. But yeah, you're right. They're going to try to slow walk the shit out of this. It's nonsense. But I did think that was a pretty interesting story. All right, let's talk about your boy Mo Brooks. He is
with pleasure.
As I wrote, he is spilling them beans. Well, go for this.
So it's funny. So like I'm actually a little surprised that this is the way this story has turned. So yesterday, Donald Trump gets on Twitter. Now rewind. For those of you not familiar with Mo Brooks, Mo Brooks is one of the, like the moggiest guys in the fucking Senate.
He
spoke at the rally before the January 6th insurrection. He's thought to be involved in like the planning from the government side of things. And he is in a lot of trouble. Like, his name has come up quite often during the committee's, the January 6th committee's investigation as time goes along, which is probably why Mo Brooks has gone out of his way to tell people to stop, to stop dwelling on January 6th and to move on past it.
Yeah. I'd appreciate if you guys would just stop talking about it.
Just stop talking about this entirely. Not saying that the election was correctly decided, not saying that, you know, not casting dispersion on the terrorists that you know, the seditionists that rioted that day at the Capitol, but just saying, hey, can we please stop talking about this? Because it's going to get me into a lot of trouble if we don't. Now, of course, that is not enough fealty being paid, though, to Dear Leader. And Donald Trump put out a statement yesterday, pulling his endorsement of Mo Brooks, which is hilarious. Just simply because Mo Brooks would not continue promoting the big lie, saying that Mo Brooks went woke, according to Donald Trump, because that's a word that doesn't mean anything anymore. It's the word woke.
I'm surprised he didn't call him Woke Brooks or something equally as lame. Yeah, no, people just say woke. White conservatives use the word woke to mean things that they just don't like. Like, it just means they don't like something. Is woke. Yeah. Star Trek is woke. Mo Brooks is woke. Like, these are, you guys realize, like, these two things are wildly different, right? Mo Brooks? All right. The guy who wore a flak jacket to the fucking speech? Shut up.
Yeah. The other thing that's great about this is that Trump's argument is that, like, Mo Brooks has fallen under the spell of Mitch McConnell, and that's why he's, like, reverse course on this.
Under the spell of Mitch McConnell?
It's so fucking wild. It's kind of crazy. And so, like the statement that Trump put out, like, it's like, when I heard a statement, I said, Mo, you just blew the election and there's nothing you can do about it. Very sad, but since he decided to go in another direction, so have I. And I'm hereby withdrawing my endorsement of Mo Brooks for the Senate. I don't think the great people of Alabama will disagree with me. So that's what he did. So, like, what I'm expecting to happen here is kind of similar to what happened with Nancy Mace. I don't know if you remember this a couple months ago, where Trump pulled his endorsement for her. And then, like, the next day, she went on Twitter and filmed, like, a Twitter video.
Oh, boy.
Literally outside of Trump Tower, like, talking about how like, oh, Trump needs to get behind her because, like, this is, like, she understands she's going to fight the Democrats. Like, basically just, like, fucking groveling to the king, wow, essentially, like, dude, pulling up outside of the castle and doing that shit.
That is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. Wow.
You should, if you can find the video at some point, it's pretty fucking hilarious.
Good. Lord.
But what was hilarious is that Mo Brooks did not go that route. I thought for sure he would. Like, I was absolutely shocked that he didn't do this. Instead, Mo Brooks spilling the tea against Donald Trump, which is fucking hilarious.
I mean, this is where it's going to, the sort of the rubber is going to start to meet the road here, right? Mm-hmm. The more paranoid he gets about, like, you can't say anything, you always got to toe the line. And like, Mo Brooks is just like, could you just not talk about January 6th? just for like a hot minute, just because I'm not really trying to go to jail because I clearly knew a lot of shit. Like, that will get you tossed off the ship. When you start to do that, they start to realize, and they, like, survive, right? Like, they don't die the next day from, you know, all the attacks on Twitter by your people. When they realize that, then they don't want it. They're like, oh, it wasn't that bad all along. This other side is probably fine. And then they start getting ass shit, and then they start telling shit. And that's where.
Here's what Mo Brooks said today. Quoting now, President Trump asked me to rescind the 2020 elections, immediately remove Joe Biden from the White House, immediately put President Trump back in the White House, and hold a new special election for the presidency.
Yikes. It's pretty woke.
And by the way,
pretty woke there,
in a future interview, he said that Trump had said this as recently as September 6th of last year, of 2021.
I don't know, man. That's pretty woke, I have to say. Pretty woke.
Yes. Brooks went on to say that removing Biden from power would be the definition of a coup d'etat, and there's no such thing as a special election for the presidency.
Oof. You're breaking my heart, Mo. You're breaking my heart. is what Trump would say, obviously, not me. Yeah, look, again, you gotta be careful when you throw these guys under the bus.
Yeah.
You have to be careful, because that doesn't always equal you becoming stronger. It just makes you more vulnerable.
To paraphrase The Godfather, you don't come out to a place like Alabama and say, talk like that to a man like Mo Brooks.
Look, hey, I can't. Again, I'm as shocked as you are that he actually took that stance. I really am. I am actually shocked by that. But, you know, like, okay, all right. I think this is the first, but it will not be the last of his like real hardcore people that he tosses under the bus for some bullshit. And they're gonna be like, you know what? Cool, fuck you, bro. Like, like shit's getting hot, man. Like, there's a lot of information coming out, and it's not looking good. Why? And as those guys get closer and closer to the fire, they're going to start to freak out. They're going to start to say, hey, man, I didn't have anything to do with this. I never supported this. And that's where Trump is going to go, oh, fuck me. Fuck you. I'm out. You can go. And then they're going to be like, all right, cool. Here's all the information I know. And that's not good. That's not good for him. Look, it's not dissimilar to what we're seeing with Putin, right? Putin has been like tossing a lot of his inner circle people and putting in these like new, you know, lackeys and what have you. It's because he's paranoid. As things are getting worse, he is reacting worse and worse. And Trump is the same way. Like, because ultimately they're very similar guys. Just Putin
Isn't
is actually
so funny how all these de facto like strongmen dudes like always develop that paranoia. At the end of the day, it's crazy.
Yep. When they get pushed to the back, when they finally get pushed up against the wall, and they are the definition of paper tigers. They almost always are. That's why I mean, you and I talked about that, I think, last week. Like, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I think Russia is a huge paper tiger. Like, it's not like they don't have weapons, but like, I don't think they really want to rumble. Like, they don't, like, yo, the U.S. is not a paper tiger, yo. Like, the U.S.'s issues in, like, military conflicts has mostly been, like, we want to blow all of you up, but we are, like, the rest of the earth is kind of like, please don't do that. And we're like, fine, we'll use the little weapons we have. Like, no, if we wanted to go to war, like, we would go to war, dude. Like,
it does not speak highly of Russia where, like, a plausible outcome for this scenario is that they essentially become like a lot of smart people are saying, they essentially become a Chinese vassal state. Essentially.
Russia does, you're saying.
Yeah. Russia does because they'll only have the Chinese as a fucking trading partner to do business with. And China will hold them over a barrel and make sure that they get like the best terms possible and will exist and have technology and be able to survive economically by the graces of China. And that's a realistic outcome because Putin's being so belligerent that, that he's going to alienate folks in the West, unless of course, like people in his country. And by people, I really mean like the military and other people in government, like rise up and remove him from power. So,
right. Right. And look, it's, you know, like Brooks and all those other sort of like really tight knit, nut jobs from January 6th are also very similar in a way to Putin's oligarchs. This is a two-way street. And I think before Putin invaded Ukraine and really got rocking and rolling on like fucking up Russia's money, I think he probably thought the oligarch situation was a one-way street. And just like Trump thinks that this is a one-way street with Brooks and these guys, like, I tell you what to do, you fucking listen, you go repeat that shit on TV, right? It's a one-way street out of my mouth through your dumb head onto CNN or whatever. But the reality is, much like with Putin and these oligarchs, is it's actually a two-way street. And Putin only truly has power and exists because those people are able to spread his money and spread their web in their hands into everything internationally. Without that, when that starts to get pulled back, he loses power. Without having mouthpieces like Mo Brooks and Tad Cadworth and all those other fucking dickbags, without them, who is Trump? He's useless. He's useless. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can say people will come to his rallies and stuff like that, but if he doesn't have people advocating for him on TV, people of significance, he has no power. And right now, he only sees it as a one-way street. And this Mo Brooks situation makes it very obvious it's not a one-way street. Even with morons like Mo Brooks, they wield power. Whether they truly realize it, well, the question is, does Mo Brooks realize it now that he said that? Right? If Mo Brooks wins his reelection, even without Trump's endorsement, Trump's in a world of trouble, right? He's in a world of trouble because then it's like, oh shit, Mo Brooks won and he didn't even have Trump's endorsement? Then what the fuck are we listening to Trump for? Because yeah. That's what they're afraid of, is that if they lose Trump's endorsement, then they lose the election. But if one or two of them still win without it, significantly, nah, he's in a world of trouble. Because then at that point, the best move is to distance yourself from this guy and just be like, fuck it, I'm out. Maybe I can survive without him. Because that's his big energy that he has over them, is if you don't fucking get in line, I'll come for you. And if I come for you, your political career is done. There was a time that was true. But that shit's waning. Because, again, What is Trump really doing right now? Like, he's not doing anything.
Being mad at rallies, essentially, and collecting a shitload of money in a super PAC.
Dude, they said, I saw an article that said that Trump has more money in his super PAC than Democrats and Republicans do.
Yeah.
Like, going into the midterms.
Yeah, it's incredible when you don't have to adhere to any rules because you haven't declared an actual candidacy. So
that's right, which is why he's never gonna do it. He's never gonna do it, guys. He's got another 2 years to grift the shit out of Republicans, and it's gonna be hilarious when he's just like, I'm gonna let my son run. He's just not gonna run, dude. He's not, and you guys are all gonna. You'll get mad for a day, and then he'll say, get behind this person, and just like sheep, they will.
Yep.
But not Mo Brooks. He's going to be all on his own. Hopefully.
I'm upset with you because, you told me not to read the story in advance, but from your headline, I know what it is already.
All right, take a guess.
I'm assuming it's North Korean advisor to the president.
That is correct. I would like you to refer to him as his proper name. My name is Kid Rock. Yes, the man who once rhymed the word things with things in a song, Kid Rock.
Did. I feel like that should be in every article about him. Like in the first paragraph, like the man who once rhymed the word things with things.
Kid Rock and former president. Oh, did they actually? Oh man, they actually they put this article behind the paywall. It wasn't the other day. That's sad. President Donald Trump, when he was president, and Kid Rock, they actually had a conversation about what Trump should do in North Korea. They had a geopolitical conversation, and even Kid Rock was like, shit, dude, I don't know. I'm not paid for that. Like, even Kid Rock was like, nah, yo, this is crazy. He literally
said, I'm not qualified to answer this. And I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say in my life. I agree with Kid Rock. Kid Rock is not qualified to give advice on North Korean policy.
He is not. All right, here we go. Hello, incognito browser. He says, quote, we're looking at maps and shit. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be in on this shit. I make dirty records sometimes. Ugh, don't say that. What do you think we should do about North Korea? Is what Trump says. And he's like, I'm like, what? I don't think I'm qualified for this to answer this. And that's funny because he definitely isn't. You're right. Also, there's a part in this article where Kid Rock talks about Trump shows him a tweet about ISIS. And he says this quote, and I'm like, okay, dude, that's not true. He says, I was there one day when he ended the caliphate. No, he didn't. He did not do that. Like, pretty sure that's still a thing that's going on. It's just we don't talk about it anymore because there's other things going on. It's less powerful, but that whole we're going to start a caliphate thing definitely didn't end. ISIS is still around. He says he wanted to put out a tweet. The tweet was, and I'm paraphrasing, it was like, if you ever join the caliphate and you try to do this, you're gonna be dead. He goes, what do you think of this? And I'm like, awesome, tweet that out. I can't add anything better than that. Yeah, you could have, Kid Rock. You actually could have come up with something better than that. He says, then it comes out and it was reworded and more politically correct. I assure you, if Trump tweeted it out, it was not more politically correct than that. Like, I can assure you it wasn't. Apparently, Kid Rock doesn't like Anthony Fauci. He uses the term fuck Fauci. Very clever. And he says he can't be canceled. Yeah, it is alliterative. He says that he can't be canceled. He says, I'm uncancelable. You can't cancel me. I love it when they try. To the critics, haters, and trolls, go fuck yourself. Here's the thing.
Pretty sure he's being canceled by the free market anyway. Like, when was the last time Kid Rock had a major fucking song?
Right. Like, yo, what are you talking? You love when they try to cancel you. Who's canceling Kid Rock? Who's trying? Life already canceled you by making your face Kid Rock's face. That I'm sorry. Get out of here. Yo, Kid Rock is a wild dude.
I mean, they can't cancel Kid Rock, but they did cancel TRL, and once that was gone, Kid Rock was screwed. So
you can't ball with the ball without Kid Rock.
I was gonna say, how are we gonna listen to fucking American Cowboy or whatever fuck song came out around that time?
Yo, Tucker Carlson is the whitest guy ever, and he is interviewing Kid Rock while wearing like a sweater vest. Yeah. Hi, Mr. Kid Rock. Let's have a conversation how we're both conservative in the same ways. You know, you, a dirty, filthy redneck who use black music as a way to jumpstart your shit career. And me, a white guy who would make fun of people like you at one of my skull and crossbones parties in college where we murder a girl for entertainment. Yeah, you know, same type of people. Shut the fuck.
It's like, yeah, you're a redneck Kid Rock from Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Shut up. Again, he rhymed things with things. Stop it. He is a real person. Like, that is fucking strange to me. I kind of want to watch this interview.
I don't think that's been definitively proven.
No, you don't think so?
No.
Oh my God.
Remember when he floated the idea of running for senator in Michigan and people just like laughed at him?
I do remember that. And I remember laughing, like audibly letting out a serious belly laugh. Like, you're not going to win in Michigan? No.
Yeah.
Like, now if you had moved down to like shit kicker Arkansas or whatever, then hell yeah. Like, you probably would have. But like, how lame is it that Kid Rock is sitting across from Tucker Carlson? Like, again, these guys could not be any more polar opposites. But Tucker Carlson's like, no, I'm a man of the people, just like you, Kid Rock. And Kid Rock is like, yeah, you got it. Yo, he would give Tucker Carlson a fucking swirly in school if these guys knew each other then. Like, they're nothing alike, but somehow
they're very, I mean, they're alike in a lot of ways. They're both fucking richer than they deserve to be.
Okay. I'll give you that.
And rode amazing mediocrity to great success.
All right. I'll give you that. You know what? I'm going to Photoshop a We the People hat with an American bill on it. and dirty redneck hair onto Tucker Carlson. God, Kid Rock is so fucking gross, man. He is just a gross dude. Ugh, just wash your hair, you monster. Like, I can smell Kid Rock. He smells like disappointment in cigarettes. I can smell him through my browser. It's
awful. What brand of cigarettes? I'm pretty sure, like,
Reds, dude. Marlboro Reds. So? Like, no filter. Like, ugh.
I feel like Kid Rock's, like, the one guy still buying Camels from the fucking gas station.
That
smoking this shit all the time.
I can see it. Meanwhile, if Tucker Carlson smells like cigarettes, it's like Virginia Slim Light Menthols. Shit, my mom used to smoke when she smoked cigarettes. Get out of here. It's like all filter and like 1% cigarette. It's a lighter one. Here's a fun story. Before we get out of here, I titled this one, God Says You Better Say Gay. Home of a Republican who crafted Florida's Don't Say Gay bill. His home was destroyed by a tornado, an act of God, if you will. Joe Harding, whose bill was approved by the state legislature this month, despite widespread criticism, yada, yada, yada. A tornado came through and was like, yeah, fuck that. Fuck your house, dude. Eat shit. And then blew it away.
Tore the roof off the motherfucker.
Good. Couldn't be happier about it. I truly, truly yep. couldn't be. They always say, they always blame natural disasters on gay marriage. I think it's high time that we start blaming natural disasters on, like, well, besides Republicans, but, you know, Republicans and their fucking bullshit. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. This is great. So,
you know. Look, if this shit keeps happening, God's going to make a compelling case to try to get me to fucking believe in him. So,
yeah, nice try.
Good job, God.
No, come on. No. But he can try. All right. That is it for us. Has been a fine episode, Brad. We will see you guys next week. I assume by then we will have a black woman on the Supreme Court. So that's going to be fun. And we can watch white people lose their CRT-filled minds. So from one anti-racist baby to another, we will see you guys next week.
See ya.